originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat He's Had Enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I'm joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. I'd like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219 XM 201, and also to those of you listening to our website at horseracingradio.net. So a portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to some 60 riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you're able to help, please visit their website at www.pdjf.org. So our guest tonight, he grew up in Peru, attended the infamous jockey school in his native country, and hails from an accomplished racing family. His first year riding in the States, he won the Grade 2 Super Derby with the Daddy. He recently guided Well Defined to an upset victory in the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis at Tampa earlier this month, earning him 10 points towards the Kentucky Derby. With 1,750 wins and over $38 million in earnings and counting, it's a pleasure to introduce jockey Pablo Morales. Pablo, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Pablo, you have to be on top of the world right now and pretty excited after that Sam F. Davis victory aboard Well Defined. Now, if my research proves to be correct, that was actually your first time riding the horse.
Yeah, it was my first time riding horse. I think something happened with rider was supposed to be, or at least the rider that they were asking for at first, ended up having another mount. So I've been doing fairly well for Kathy O'Connell, and she considered me, and they decided to put me on the horse, and I'm just thankful that they did.
Not only that, but also first time wearing blinkers for the horse, which worked out well. Obviously, he took to those. What were your instructions in the paddock, Pablo?
Obviously, we're going to be forwardly placed. He has a lot of natural speed, and he had blinkers on. We had a clear outside post. We knew the horse liked to be up front. So we just decided to come out there running, hoping to make the lead and hopefully just hang on. End up actually going to the lead in pretty decent fractions, not too fast. And when I asked him around the second turn, the horse had some left and he kept right on going.
Obviously, he's still pretty young at this point. Pablo, do you think he's a horse that's going to continue to grow and learn as he continues to run? What was your feel from him? Was he immature still young? Or
I think he's going to improve. He's still a little bit of a nervous horse, gets a little antsy, and I think that's the reason why he's going to the lead. But I think as he goes along, he's going to get more mature. He's going to get more confident, less nervous, and I think he's going to display an even better performance in the future.
Do you know what's next for the horse?
I was talking to the trainer last week, and they were obviously considering the Tampa Bay Derby, which seems like the next step forward.
Well, we will be watching, Pablo, and good luck there. That's exciting to possibly, you know, hopefully all goes well, get a horse in the Derby. Have you ever ridden in the Derby before?
Be awesome. No, I've never have. I read the Kentucky Oaks a while back, but never been in the Kentucky Derby. Definitely will be a great experience to see if it does happen.
Who'd you ride in the Kentucky Oaks?
It was a long time ago, actually. I was actually a bug boy when I did.
Really?
Her name was Miss Norman. It was from the same trainer and owner that I won the Luciana Super Derby.
What was that experience like for you? Obviously, you were still, I think, what, 17 maybe when you were a bug?
Yeah, I was.
So you're
17.
You're basically a kid. And coming to the biggest weekend in racing to Churchill Downs to ride in the Kentucky Oaks, that had to be an incredible experience.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. I was pretty lost. My English, even though it was pretty decent after a year being in the States, it wasn't that good. I remember just I had nobody that I really knew in Kentucky. So I remember just, I think the owner dropping me off on the track, and it took me like an hour to get to the jocks room. There was so much people. I've never been there. So it was a little nerve-wracking, but definitely pretty cool. I remember going out of the track and just being mesmerized by the crowd. I just kept looking towards the crowd. I just couldn't believe it that I was there.
That's amazing. And like I said, hopefully we see you there again this year, Pablo. But let's take a second now, take a step back. You're from Peru. Your family, you're basically born into a racing family. I know you have racing in your blood. Tell us about your family and what it was like growing up in Peru.
Well, my grandfather was a jockey. He was from Chile, and he moved to Peru with a contract when my dad was only 9 years old. Him, his wife, my grandmother, and his kids, my dad and uncles, they moved to Peru when my dad was only a kid. And they right away moved into the track because the racetrack in Peru, all the barns have a house at the end of it. So that's pretty much where my dad grew up. My dad grew up literally in the barn. He also became a jockey. Then my brother, his sons, also everybody worked in the racetrack. I was the last one of five kids. So I was born when everybody was kind of older already, but from day one, since the moment I was born, my dad was a trainer, so we were constantly on the racetrack, constantly going to the barn in the morning. My grandmother wasn't alive by then yet anymore, but my grandfather still lived in that same house at the end of the barn, so we were there all the time, like 5 days a week at least. We'll be there on horses, riding little by little, but it was pretty good. I got definitely a lot of advantage of the fact that I had so much access to horses and teachers everywhere.
You're surrounded by it, definitely. Now, one of five kids, and you said you were the youngest. Yeah. What was that like growing up? What were you like as a family? Were they kind of picking on you? Were they bullies? Or did they kind of show you the ropes around the barn?
No, it was actually really, really nice because my two older sisters were like around 20 or 19 years old, and my brothers were 15 and 12. So I was the baby of the house. I was pretty spoiled by everybody. So it wasn't like anything close to bullying. If anything, when I became a little bit older, let's say 9, 10, 11, 12, all my brothers and sisters were working. So they would all take care of me pretty well.
Now, do you remember the first time you sat on the back of a horse?
Not really, because I was a newborn. I mean, I have pictures that I cannot even sit up straight, and I'm already on top of a horse. But I remember kind of making up my mind. It was all so normal to me. I've always would say I was going to be a jockey when I grew up, just because that's what I was always thought I would be. But the desire of really putting it all together and saying, that's it, I'm going to do it, and just pretty much getting the first set of boots and my helmet and my vest was when I took a trip to Gulfstream Park when I was 11 or 12. And I seen the championship meet, you know, in the winter meet, and I seen all these riders and all the crowd and everything. And I said, I always thought I was going to be a jockey in Peru because none of my family has ever ridden. I mean, they've ridden here, but not really. They just visited and went back. But I decided there, and then I was not going to be a jockey in Peru. I said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to become a jockey in the United States. And as soon as I got back, I just started working at it, started galloping horses a little by little, start learning more and more, put it all together, joining the jockey school for a little, and that's it. The rest was history.
The rest was history, Pablo. Jockey Pablo Morales joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Pablo, what's it like galloping horses in Peru and working at the track there? Do they train any differently in Peru versus the States?
I don't think so. I think everything is pretty similar. The only difference that I can recall quickly is I remember just all the jockeys and trainers and gallop boys, everybody's always standing by the track somewhere in the backside, but everybody's standing almost by the rail. The grooms and the workers bring the horses ready intact, so you just pretty much jump on them and go straight into the track. And I remember you can get in so many horses more like that. There's also a training track right next to the main track too, so usually the buck boys are galloping more often in the training track. But other than that, everything is pretty similar.
I'm sure getting on so many horses in the morning, you learn pretty quickly. For you, I'm sure it came pretty natural. You started out as a newborn.
Yeah, it took me a little more time because I never really, even though I was getting on easy horses, I was kind of born in the racetrack. I never went to a farm or anything. I was already riding racehorses, and I was really small. I was 12, 13, 14 years old. I was really small. I looked like I was seven. I didn't have one muscle in my body, so it was a little bit harder for me. But believe it or not, it was sometimes a little discouraging because I had horses run off, or I kept falling off because I was just so little and so weak. But I did not let that stop me. I kind of, with even a little bit of fear, I just kept on going. I knew what I wanted to do, so I just kept at it until little by little it became easier and easier. And then before you know it, I was racing horses and coming out of the gate. And I guess doing it pretty good. I mean, I had the constant teachings of my dad and my uncle and my brothers. So I started getting more and more comfortable to the point where I started riding.
When you attended the jockey school there in Lima, Peru as well, and what is that program like?
The program is really nice. It actually helps a lot. There's a lot of kids there that don't have the resources or anything. Everything is free. They give you food and everything. They pretty much condition you physically a lot. There's a lot of workouts, a lot of resistance, a lot of jogging, a lot of lifting light weights, but just getting or your core and your legs and your arms strong, and giving you advice about racing a little bit. On every Sunday, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they will take us to the grandstand in a little area designated for kids that are in jockey school, just so we can watch the races. At least I think it was like six races that we had to sit there and watch and talk about it. The only thing that I did not do was graduate from that school. I actually left a little bit before because, unfortunately, they were making it a little bit complicated for new buck boys to start riding in Peru. It would make it a little difficult to give you your release papers for you to go travel to the United States. They were asking for a little bit too much money for you to get out of it, and that's become an issue now. We have a lot of big riders here in the States, like Edgar Prado or Mejarano, kind of fighting with the with the racetrack in Peru because they're making it really difficult for some riders to come here asking for too much money to give them their release or papers that they need in order to get their work visa. So since I knew that was kind of coming and I had a lot of facilities, a lot of help coming to the United States, knew some people already. Right before I graduated, or a few months before I graduated, I went to ride in a smaller track in Peru, getting my papers as a professional apprentice, I guess you would call it. And with those papers, I was able to do my work visa and travel to the United States.
I read, Pablo, that at that small racetrack you mentioned, and I know I'm going to butcher the name, Arequipa?
Yeah, Arequipa.
Arequipa. There we go. That's better. Yeah, I heard it was a long bus drive to get there, and You know, obviously, as a young 15-year-old apprentice at the time, you're probably nervous. But you won your very first race you rode. Is that true?
Yes, I won the first race I rode. It was really cool, actually. Some of my family were able to travel there, but they found out that I was going to ride my first race. So I was definitely not alone for my first win. A lot of family members were there with me to celebrate it.
That's fantastic. The first race ever. What every jockey's dream, right? And many, many more to follow, obviously. Now, I heard that your mother wanted you to finish school, however, after those first few races.
Yeah, I ended up riding 2 weeks there, and then I left because there was no way I could leave Peru without finishing my school year. So I went right back to school, and I had only like 3 months left. So after that, I had the blessing from my mom, and there I left.
You had to finish school, but I bet you were chomping at the bit, waiting to get out of class so you could go ride races.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was still working in the mornings and going out there every morning because I happened to go to an afternoon school that started at 12:30 p.m., so I was able to work in the mornings to keep on galloping, keep on learning. I was still pretty green. I was just so excited, but I just had to keep learning, obviously.
Now, at that point, when you first started out riding races, was there anything you struggled with early on that it took a while for you to really get? I mean, for me personally, it was switching sticks. You know, finally I got it. And was there anything you struggled with?
Of course, yes, I did. I actually wish I would have been a little bit more patient. I was just so young, I was 16 years old, and I was running in the States. And even though I mean, at least I heard that I looked really good, I could finish really good, I could switch sticks really good, I knew that I did not have the strength to, or when the horse was complicated and the horse was really strong. And I remember I'm riding in New York in Belmont against Jerry Bailey and all these guys, and I'm riding the grass, and this monster horses were like Bobby Frankel and Alan Jerkins. I mean, they were not easy, and I literally weighed 105 pounds. And I was struggling a little bit controlling some of these horses, especially in the grass races, this big field. And here I am, Tiny Me, when my saddle weighs 15 pounds. And that's where I wish I would have just taken a couple of years to grow up a little bit. I, even though I was 16 and 17 years old, I was extremely young looking. I look like I was, I still look really young even now that I'm 30. People still can't believe I'm 30. If you can imagine back then, I looked like I was 12 probably.
So, Pablo, after you finished school, then you were ready to come to the States and start your professional career here in the United States. Was that you talked about the paperwork and the whole process with the jockey school that was going to be a little bit more complicated than what you wanted to deal with. Was it still hard, however, getting all of that paperwork finished?
No, I was pretty blessed. It could be really complicated. A lot of people have a lot of problems, if not problems, delays and everything, but I actually got really, really lucky with everything. My work visa came in super quick. After a few years, my resident came super quick, and now just last year I applied for citizenship. Again, I got it right away, so I'm extremely thankful because I was really blessed. A lot of people have setbacks and little things here and there where it gets a little complicated, but I haven't had any problems with my papers, thank God, from day one.
Thank goodness. And citizenship, congratulations on that, Pablo. That's exciting for sure. And
yeah.
And when you first arrived here to the States, was it a bit overwhelming for you as a young man?
I was a little bit nervous. I've lived with my parents my whole life, obviously, and especially going to New York. And New York is definitely not what I was expecting after seeing Miami. And I remember living in a basement and really barely any money on me. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking. I wasn't too sure about anything. My English wasn't very good either. Again, no money, barely. But thank God I was able to start winning fairly quick. And once I got money, I got a little bit of money on me, I could I brought my brother along at least so he can, he's a gallop boy. He was actually galloping in Miami at the time. So I made him move to New York to be with me. I was still really, really young, so I definitely needed somebody to be with me.
Yeah, and I heard prior to that you were living with Cornelio Velasquez.
Yeah, that was for about a month that I went to Saratoga to breeze horses in the morning. I was going to start riding on opening day in Belmont, but I went to Saratoga to kind of start getting fit again and meeting people, meeting trainers. And Cornelio Velasquez opened the doors to his house, and that's why I stayed with for about a month.
What was it like living with him, and did he help you in any way with your career?
Absolutely. We were both at the same age, and it was definitely, first of all, it was really awesome that somebody like Cornelio Velasquez took me in. We are not from the same country. He does not know my family. He does not know me. All he knew was that we had the same agent, and my agent was going to have me living in his this small trailer that he had. So he said, when he found out, he was like, hey, no, you come live with me. I have this house. It's 3 bedrooms. You can stay with me. We both speak Spanish. You can come to work with me. You can come to the races with me. And it was, like, unbelievable to have somebody just wanting to help you like that without knowing you. And he grew fond of me. He thought I was really funny, and we became friends like that, even though we had a big age difference.
Jockey Pablo Morales joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Pablo, even before going to New York, you had a reality check, I guess, in the dangers of the sport. You actually cracked your skull prior to riding up there. And what happened?
I had a horse. When I cracked my skull, I had again, that's where I was saying I wish I would have waited a little bit more, at least a year or two, just to get stronger physically. I think I didn't develop yet much muscles, no matter how hard I worked. I was just so small, no matter how much I ate, that this horse was just extremely strong, and he started getting out on me in the first turn, and he just kept going out and out and out in the grass. When I got all the way to the outside fence, I was having I could not really control him, and he ducked from underneath me for a little bit, and I just lost my balance.
How long did it take you to recover from that?
It took me like I want to say 4 months. Or 3 or 4 months before I started getting, I was right back on a horse. That's when I actually traveled to Saratoga to start getting fit again after the 3 months of being out. This accident happened in Miami.
Did you have any kind of hesitation of getting back on a horse again after such a serious injury so early on in your career?
Oh, not at all. If anything, I was way more excited to start because I knew my comeback was going to be in the big leagues. I was going to go to New York. I had a Richard Pass contacted me about taking me to New York. And I mean, this is a big time agent. I'm going to the big time track where all the good jockeys are. I just cannot wait. If anything, I would have rode the next day if I could.
Any other serious injuries you've suffered throughout your career?
Unfortunately, yes. I had a broken shoulder, and the worst one was I had a 5 compressor fractures on my vertebrae. I had a horse kind of lose his footing and do a somersault and a work. But thank God I'm okay. I mean, doesn't really bother me.
Thank goodness. And Pablo, let's talk about a high now. We talked about the low. Now, the high, you, in your first year here in the States, you won the Grade 2 Super Derby with the Daddy. And that was, again, pretty early on. How did you get that mount?
It was by coincidence, too. I was happening to breeze a lot. My agent had me breezing a lot of horses, get fit, whether I would ride him or not in the afternoon. I would breeze some of Cornelio Velasquez's horses when he was busy. So I ended up breezing this horse, and he was just as classy as they come, and super easy. It was like perfect for me. I was like, oh my goodness, this is a monster. He's so easy to ride. I was just so happy. So they had me breezing like 2 or 3 times because just because Cornelia was going to ride it, but the horse was so easy going that they did not mind me having them work. And I remember they decided to go into this big race and for the Super Derby, and it happened to be in the same day of a big day of racing in Belmont. And Cornelia Velasquez had a lot of mounts on this day in Belmont, and they just decided to stay. My agent pretty much put it on the table if they would consider taking me since I got along with the horse so well. And they said yes. When they told me about it, it didn't really process with me. I've never in any big races. I was really young. Again, my English wasn't that good. So they just told me I was going to ride a stake somewhere else. They just pretty much put me in a plane and in a hotel, the jocks room. I rode the race. I won it and went right back to the jocks room. And I just was extremely unsure of what had just happened.
Now, were you still a bug at this time?
Yes, I was a 7-pound bug. That was my 20th victory of my life.
Wow, that's a huge accomplishment, obviously. In a graded stake, you do not get the weight allowance. So that's a huge accomplishment for an apprentice to win a grade two, their 20th winner of their life. That's amazing, Pablo. Now, how did the race set up for you?
Again, I had a plan in my mind because I studied it really good, and I pretty much followed that plan to the teeth. I remember just saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is how am I going to break. This is the position that I'm going to be. If somebody comes, I'm probably going to be in the lead, but I don't want to move early, so I'm going to stay a little bit wide. So if somebody moves up on the inside, I don't have to move. I can just stay still to the quarter pole. I wish it was that easy every day, but that's how I had it in my mind, and it worked out.
Worked out well. Was it an easy victory? Did he win pretty easy?
No, he won by a head. They were closing on him. They were soloing him in the last part and just hang on.
As a bug boy, you win your first grade two. Pretty amazing. Folks, stay with us. We're going to continue our visit with jockey Pablo Morales after this short commercial break. You're listening to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use their monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Penna of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcotte. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too. And I thank you.
You're listening to Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
But as they approach the quarter mile pole, Well-Defined is still the target. He's widening on the field by three. Here's Kentucky Wildcat under an all-out ride, running at the leader's second. Down along the inner rail, Next Go appears to be struggling third. They're into the stretch, and the upset might be on. It's Well-Defined, still in front. Kentucky Wildcat continues to surge at the leader on the outside. Well-Defined, down to the wire. The local connections, Kathleen O'Connell, Pablo Morales, make every pole a winning one. Kentucky Wildcat second, So Alive, flies on to be third. A three-horse photo for fourth, and the running time on the board, 142.77 to 1 on the winner.
Welcome back to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. I'm your host, Christina McManigal, and I am joined tonight by jockey Pablo Morales. Pablo, do you get excited when you hear the replay?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds really cool.
Of course, Pablo's victory in the Sam F. Davis this year, 2019, at Tampa Bay Downs, and hopefully heading to the Kentucky Derby, as we spoke about in the first half of the show. So you were riding in New York. You started in Florida. Now you're back in Florida. Pablo, you're riding at Tampa Bay Downs full time. You go up to Presque Isle Downs during the summertime. You've been a five-time leading rider at Presque Isle Downs. You've also always been on the top, you know, riders in Tampa as well. Tampa's a funny place. I rode with you at Tampa in 2010 when I was a bug girl. And so many riders come to Tampa because obviously it's warm and everyone wants to be warm during the wintertime. So talk to us a little bit about why you decided to go to Tampa and what's business like for you there.
Like a lot of steps that the jockeys take, they're pretty much taking a chance. A few years back, I remember going to Miami just to, you know, making a move. And one of the trainers there offered me to come to Tampa. In the end, I end up not even riding for that trainer here in Tampa. But obviously, like every other track that we jockeys go to, we started working hard at it. And I had a really good meet there. I stopped coming back for a few years, started going after Presque Isle. I started going to New York in the winters for a few years. And then I decided again to come back here. A lot of people knew me. I had a good agent coming here. So now I had a family. It's definitely a great place to be here in the winter. Money obviously is not exceptional, but when you do well like anywhere else, you make a good living. And I got my wife and my two kids here. We have a house here. It's just a great place to live. And thank goodness I've been able to collect enough business where I'm constantly winning. And obviously we're always pushing for more, but I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing.
Is Tampa a funny track in terms of how you ride the track? Do you find it more speed favoring, or what's it like?
It is a little complicated. It's definitely different. I'm used to riding in Presque Isle Downs where you have to be patient. You got to save ground. You don't want to move too early. It's definitely very different here, especially not so much on the grass. On the grass, you got to ride a similar than that. But on the dirt, you have to be a little aggressive. You seem like saving ground is not the most important part here in this dirt core because you kind of, that inside seems to be deeper. It's a very copy track. It's kind of like our surface is kind of like the beach, the sand from the beach. It's definitely a little bit weird. You got to play it by ear every race. But again, you have to be more aggressive. It seems like horses hang on a little bit more than other tracks. And seems like being in the outside always pays off. The inside is obviously not terrible, but most of the time you see horses closing on the outside. So there's a lot of factors that you have to completely change your style of riding when you're here.
How about Presque Isle Downs? Obviously, they have the synthetic surface at Presque Isle, and I've never ridden there myself, so I know nothing about it. How do you handle yourself on that track?
I enjoy it a lot, actually. I really like it. There's no kickback from, like, the dirt. You don't feel anything. Horses don't, babies especially, or even older horses, when they're in the back, there's barely any kickback going into their face. So they seem to run freely. It doesn't really matter if you're coming from behind or the front. Everything seems kind of equal. And I enjoy a lot that seems like jockeys do play a little bit of a bigger part in the poly than on the dirt. And the dirt seems like, obviously, a smart ride and a good jockey is going to make a little bit of a difference. It's going to make a difference. But in the poly, it seems like every move kind of counts a little bit more. Even when you think you have the race won, on the last eighth of a mile, there's horses closing. You have to be patient. You have to be smart. Mm-hmm. You have to save ground. I feel like I enjoy it more because I feel like just that your actions are going to be make more difference than on a dirt track.
That's very interesting. I've never heard someone put it in such great detail before. And obviously, it's been a little bit of a controversial track. Some people love it, some people hate it. Sounds like you like it. Do you think it's good for the horse?
I think horses are, the difference, this is not the regular poly track that they have in other places, like in Tulsa. This is Tapita. This is even a Woodbine, they just turned to Tapita last year. It's a synthetic track, but it's not the poly track. And for what I hear, everybody likes the Tapita. And even though people like the poly, they feel like the Tapita is better. We really don't have any problems with it during the races. The accidental breakups are very minimal to none. So most of the riders that are there and trainers seem to not complain about it. Hopefully the training style is going to be a little bit more different. You want to kind of take it easy with the horses in the morning. You don't want to train too aggressively because it's obviously a little bit harder than a dirt track. But I really barely hear any complaints of that racetrack.
Now, you've actually gone up to Woodbine before. You just mentioned Woodbine's picked up the Tapita. And you actually happened to pick up a big drink of water, won a $100,000 stake up there last year. And you've done well shipping up to Woodbine. Do you think it's good for a jockey to have that feel for how the Tapita works?
I think so, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's something that I'm comfortable with, and I know how to, I know how horses respond and the feel. When you're not really used to it, the sense of pace is a little bit different. It takes you a little while to get accustomed to. Even for me, that I've been there for so many years, when I first get back from Tampa to Prescott, I always after my workouts, I try to guess exactly how fast I went, but still I ask, like, just to try to like put it together, because it takes you a little bit while. Horses seem to breeze a lot faster in that kind of surface and doing it a lot easier. So you might think that you're going slow, but then you come back and the trainer tells you, you're going too fast, what are you doing?
Definitely a different feel to it. Now, talking again about Woodbine, do you enjoy that track? Is that a nice place to ship in, win a couple of stakes?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah. I went to stakes. I like it a lot. It's obviously a beautiful racetrack. The rules are a little strict with me. A very strong finisher, and at least I think so.
You definitely are.
And they have a lot of rules over there. You cannot raise your hand above your helmet. It's something that, even though I try, sometimes I struggle with it, never getting punished by it, by getting fined. But what you're going to do is their rules, right?
I guess. Yeah, I heard someone else, I don't remember who it was, someone else got fined big time, I guess, over there. Don't they have another kind of odd rule, if you ask me, where you can't hit a horse more than three times in succession, and then you have to go back to pumping?
Two or three times, yeah. I think it's two or three. I'm not 100% sure. You can only ride two or three in a row, which I was okay with that, but the problem, the one that I was struggling with a little bit, is you can only raise your hand to your head. If your hand passes your helmet by even an inch, you get fined 20% of the purse if you win it.
Yikes. I would have been in trouble there,
yeah,
too.
Well, I think everybody in the States would be.
Well, and when you're riding to win, you're not exactly thinking about that, I'm sure. I wouldn't even be thinking about
it. I've tried to remember, but when it was coming to down the lane and you're looking to win it, you definitely forget. But before, when I'm in the gate or something, I'm thinking, don't raise your hand over your head, don't. The gate's open, and then it's gone. You're riding to win.
So much for that, Pablo. What's your favorite track to ride at, then?
Right now, of course, I enjoy Prescott a lot. Also, I get a lot of quality horses there. I'm usually riding the better stock since I've been leading jockey so many years there. So it's always nice to not just play the game smart, but also being able to have the stock underneath you to be able to show what you can do. It's obviously exciting, but I honestly think that it's never so much the track. It's obviously what are you riding in that track.
Now, you have an agent here at Tampa, Paula Bacon. I actually went through Paula Bacon to get you on the show here because I had Paula on the show maybe, I don't know, a year ago or so. And she speaks so highly of you, loves working with you, obviously. And does she go with you to Presque Isle as well?
Yes, that's the good thing about this too, that we are here in Tampa and go to Presque Isle, so we're working together year-round.
You've obviously developed a great relationship, as you mentioned, working year-round. And how important is it for a jockey to have a good agent?
Oh, it's extremely important, extremely, extremely important. They take care of everything, you know, and the great part about it is that she works hard and she's very likable. She knows a lot of people. So I've been around the business too for a while, but so has she. So everything works out really well. We get along great. She believes in me. And it's been great since I took her. We've done really well. Every year that I've had her, I think, I don't know, almost 3 years, I've won about 200 races each year. So obviously I'm really happy with her, and I know she's happy with me too.
Yeah, I know last year you were one of only 20 other jockeys in the nation to have won over 200 races in a year. That's a big number, Pablo. And like I said, you have a huge number of wins to your name, over 1,700 wins, and they keep coming. What goals do you have for yourself at this point in your career? You've already accomplished a lot. What goals do you have going forward?
To be honest with you, I don't really think about this too much. But now, knowing that I'm getting close to the 2,000 mark, I mean, not that close, but close and closer. You know, like 250 wins around there. I'm pretty excited about that. 2,000 seems like a big, big, big number. I feel like I'm pretty young still. I feel like I have a lot to give, but just knowing that I'm hopefully getting to that mark is really exciting. Obviously, I'm also excited about this thing coming up with the Tampa Bay Derby, but I just take it day by day. I want to win every race that I can. I want to do well. I want to keep my trainers happy. I want to stay healthy. And I just, I'm not too concerned of what's next. I just want to keep on going.
Well, the way you're going, Pablo, you'll be at 2,000 in no time, maybe next year by this time.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Now, you mentioned your family a little bit ago, and your wife is actually daughter of a trainer, and you have two little kids. And tell us how you and your wife met.
We met in New York, a Super Bowl party, if I'm not mistaken, and we just became friends, and little by little, we started getting to know each other. I went to ride that summer at Monmouth Park, and she lived a block from the track. So we started dating, and then we got married, and it's been awesome ever since. It's going to be 10 years that we're together, and I hope she's too. We're super happy.
Well, happy early anniversary. That's huge, making it to 10 years with two beautiful kids. Tell us about your children. You have a daughter and a son.
Yes, my daughter Sophia, she's 8, and my son Camilo is 6. Again, I feel super blessed. They're super good kids. I feel like I'm kind of really lucky with them because they just give us no problem. They listen super good. They're just great kids, well behaved. We have a happy home. We have a good thing going, and everybody gets along great. We just have having a good time.
Do your kids show any interest in horses?
A little bit, not too much. I don't really involve them too much in it. That came to them. I was going to come to them on their own. I know the challenges is to be that there is and being a jockey, the dangers of it, and definitely nobody pushed it on me. Even though I had it around me all along, it was a decision I took on my own. So they don't really pay attention much. They know that that is a jockey. They go to the races here and there. They support me 100%, but I don't keep them involved the racetrack too much.
Obviously, having a family and riding full-time keeps you busy. Tell us about your daily schedule. What's a typical day in the life of Pablo Morales?
Pretty boring. No, I usually go to work in the morning. Depends how many braces I have. Sometimes I have to go really, really early. Other days, not so much, but I'm out there almost every single morning. Then I usually come home for an hour just to grab a quick small bite to eat, go take a shower, and go right back to the jocks room. Maybe reduce a couple of pounds in the hot box, and then study my program as best I can, and then put races time. And I come home. My wife usually has my dinner ready, thank God, all the time. And my kids are waiting for me, and then we'll just eat and do something in family together. That's what usually we do every single day.
Do you have to worry about your weight at all and what you eat?
No, not really. I'm again, pretty blessed with that, too. I'm not heavy by any means. I eat whatever I want. If anything, if I have to poop a pound or two, I just do it mainly to stay lighter. Or in case I had a horse come out with, like, maybe 115 or 116. But other than that, no, I eat whatever I want. I try not to abuse it, even though on my days off, I do.
Oh, that's okay. You're in Tampa, Florida. You're surrounded by good seafood. So
right.
That has to be nice. And I heard you've gotten into boxing.
Yeah, a few years ago, two and a half years ago, I got into it. I always like to work out. That's another thing that I think helps me maintain my weight. I've always worked out, even running or doing whatever, going to the gym, swimming. I've been a pretty active person, but I get into boxing because it looked really fun, and I just started it, and ever since I've been practicing it. It's just a great sport. It keeps you so fit, your reflexes, the muscles in your arm, your legs. I mean, to be honest with you, I felt like the most unfit person in the world when I started boxing.
Wow.
So I just wanted to keep on going, and it definitely felt a big, big difference when it came to it. Reflexes, reaction, stamina, I loved it.
Do you feel like it's helped your performance on the back of a horse?
I really did. I really did. When it started, definitely I felt a big difference. I could see the difference even in my body, even though as jockeys, as athletes, we are pretty fit, but we're pretty fit to ride horses. But going the extra mile, doing something else, maybe attacking some muscles or parts that you're not accustomed to, like your shoulders and all this stuff, I did feel a difference when it came to riding. I've always been a very strong, looked like a very strong finisher on a horse, but I was doing it now maybe without even getting a little bit tired. So I think it was a great sport to choose. Obviously, and it's also not boring at all. It was very, very fun. It kept you very busy in your mind, so you don't realize how hard you're working out until you're done and you can barely move.
Sounds like it's definitely a good workout. Do you do anything else other than working horses, riding races, obviously, and boxing? Do you do anything else to keep fit?
When I don't feel like boxing, because boxing does leave you sometimes pretty sore, and when I have a lot of mounts coming up, I really rather not, other than maybe hitting the bag a little bit lightly, because it does leave you pretty sore for the next day. I just go running. I usually go running for a little bit, and I do have my Equisizer, and I ride my Equisizer right in my backyard after running 2 miles, and that's pretty much what I do.
Jockey Pablo Morales joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You've ridden so many winners and so many stakes victories to your name. Obviously, I've mentioned the two graded stakes victories. Who would you say is your favorite horse
that I've ridden?
Yeah.
Or my favorite horse?
No, the horse that you've ridden. I should have specified.
Well, there was one little horse that I always think about. His name was Flit Valet. It was in Monmouth Park, and this little horse, I mean, he has so much heart. It was for trainer Scott Volk. He claimed them for like $10,000 or something like that. And after that, he put me on him, and he raced him up to $25,000, and the horse went easy. He put him in a $100,000 stake. Again, he went easy. He ran another stake in Haskell Day for $100,000 the day the big brown ran there. Again, win it, and then we went to Laurel on the Francis Dash or something like that. It's called a great stake, and he finished third. And the reason why I was such a big fan of this I'm a big fan of this horse because he was so little and very, very uncomfortable going in the morning. And but when it came to the races, you could not recognize him. He was just a completely different horse. He was just so old heart. When it came to running, he just gave it his all every single time.
I just pulled him up.
I think that's one of my favorite horses.
I just pulled him up right here. And, yeah, quite the career. That was actually his last race, running in the Grade 1 Frank J. DeFrancis Memorial Dash at Laurel Park. Ran third, as you mentioned, had four victories in a row prior to that. But the little horse that could, he was something else for sure.
Oh, yeah, you get on him in the morning, he don't look like it. He don't act like it. If anything, he acts like he's a little bit sore and behind. But when it came to races, you put him in the gate, and he was one of the fastest horses I've ever ridden.
How about this? Who's your favorite jockey that you look up to today? Maybe you ride, you associate with them in the jocks room. Who's your favorite?
Nowadays, there's so many talented riders. It's amazing. When I was smaller, I always looked up to Jerry Bailey and Edgar Prado. I always looked at them. That's who I wanted to be like. That's who I wanted to look like and how I wanted to ride. I mean, today, there's so many good riders. We have the Ortiz brothers that are doing amazing. Of course, I look up to them, even though they're younger than me. It's amazing how well they're doing and how smart and how strong they look. There's just so many really, it'd be hard to count, but I know there's just so much talent out there everywhere. I'm proud of being able to do as well as I'm doing with the competition that there's around.
What is the atmosphere like in the jocks room? Obviously, it's unlike anything in any other sport where you are surrounded by your competitors right after the competition. So I'm sure tempers can get heated at times, but at the same time, we look at one another almost like family. So what's it like for you?
I'm pretty easygoing. I'm nice to everybody. I like everybody. I try not to get into any arguments. I don't find a reason to. We're all competitors, but we know that our lives are at risk out there. I think it's dumb to get into arguments. We know we're all trying to win. You know, accidents are going to happen or little mistakes are going to be done out there that could mess your race up just like you can mess somebody else's race up. But I'm usually pretty easygoing. I don't let nothing get to me. And if I made a mistake, if I bother somebody, I'm the first one to apologize to them. But to me, it's pretty easy. Obviously, some people are more hard-headed than others. Other ones are funny. It's just like anywhere else. I try to get along with everybody there.
Who's your valet there at Tampa?
Alberto Pico is my valet here in Tampa.
Alberto Pico. Tell us what a valet does for a jockey.
Well, the valets usually make sure all your tack and all your clothes are ready to go for the day. Everything is clean. Everything is folded. Your helmet and your goggles are on with the right color. Your tack is set for the weight that you have coming up. And they also provide refreshments for you that are there in either a cooler or a fridge. And that's pretty much what they do. They're just there for what you need.
What's the most difficult aspect of riding? We talked about the physical injuries you've had. But there's also the mental frustration that can come in. You're not doing well, or you get taken off a mount or anything like that. What, for you, is the hardest part of riding?
Sometimes that could be it. I've learned through the years to cope with the losses a little bit better, especially when you're going through a little slump or something like that and you want to win so bad and things just don't happen to click together. It's really easy to get down. It's really easy to get frustrated and... But you just got to keep pushing through, and it always comes around. I mean, for everybody, I know this for personal experience and for seeing other jockeys, it's a little hard. We want to win. We're out there to win. There's no point of playing if you're never going to win. So we're out there trying to win every time. That could be a little bit of the biggest challenge that we suffer. And obviously, when you don't win and you get a little bit discouraged, then you also get with the factor that trainers sometimes aren't happy. They want to take you off of mounts, and it does take a a toll on your self-esteem and your confidence, but you just got to keep on going. I've learned that. Doesn't mean it's easy. Of course, I do get down sometimes. Of course, I do get discouraged sometimes, but I'm out there in the morning and ready to go again. Before you know it, here I am winning 1, 2, 3 races a day.
There you go. Who are your favorite trainers to ride for at Tampa?
Well, I ride a little bit for everybody. Obviously, Katya Kono has been great to me this year. She's been super nice, but I have support from a lot of people. I cannot really single out anybody because a lot of people have, even though they don't put me in all their horses, they entrusted me with pretty decent ones, and I'm making them count. So I really appreciate it a lot from a lot of the trainers that always try to find me horses that know that have a good shot, and they up for me to ride them.
Only about a minute left here on the show. What kind of horses do you feel like you fit with the best?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I try to do my best with every single horse. I don't mind coming from behind. I don't mind being close to the pace. I do not mind going to the lead. I think when I'm out there, I just do what's best for my horse. Know what's best for not where I want to be. It's more where my horse will give me the best run. I try to put them where they want to be.
It's all about the horse, Pablo. I love it. I can't thank you enough for joining us. This has been great hearing your story, Pablo. And we're going to see you on Tampa Bay Derby Day. Wishing you all the best. And keep winning, Pablo. Thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate it so much. And good luck with everything. And thank you so much.
Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. Now be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thanks for listening.